Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, so hello and welcome back to the Beer Ladies podcast. I am today's host, Katie. In this episode, I am joined by Erica, and we have two very special guests this week. We have Shane and we have Leah. And our topic this week, we are going to talk all about beer festivals. In season one, we spoke about what we like, what we don't like. Well, this year we have got two people who are actually organizing beer festivals that can give us a little bit of insight into what goes on. So before we go to our hosts, go to our guests, I'm gonna say, if you could please follow us on YouTube, we are YouTube.com/Beer Ladies Podcast. And also we are on Instagram, we're on Twitter, we're on Facebook. We are at Beer Ladies Podcast, apart from Twitter, which is Beer Ladies Pod, because there's a limit on the number of letters. So follow us, subscribe, share, tell all your friends, because it really does help. Oh, and you can buy us a coffee. This is a new thing this year. At buy a coffee. It's on our, it's, it'll be linked on our Twitter. Okay, because I don't know all the details. Okay, so we're going to start by saying, what are you drinking? So, Erica? You want to go first?
Yeah, sure. So I brought this home from work. It's a Whiplash Foam Machine IPA, and it's 6.2% ABV. And it's one of my favorite pieces of can art. It's a person that has some pink and blue on their face and a sort of hood. So I'm showing the camera.
That's kind of a little bit creepy, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I know Shane didn't get the beer in for this episode, so we'll pass him by. How about you, Leah? What are you drinking?
Funnily enough, also Whiplash. So I'm drinking Immolator. It's one from our lager series. It's a smoked Doppelbock. It's a little hefty at 8.6 for a Monday, but it's a very kind of soft, smoky flavor. Delicious. One of my favorite ones that Dan's done recently.
Very nice. I'm just back from Edinburgh. I'm drinking a Stewart's Brewing Belgian IPA called First World Problems. I know, when you look in the world, these really are first world problems. How do you organize a beer festival, you know? But I haven't tasted it yet. Oh, it's very nice. It's very nice. And I can highly recommend Edinburgh as a destination, by the way. So let's go straight in. And Shane, do you want to introduce yourself to our listeners?
Sure. I'm Shane Long. I'm the founder of the Franciscan Well Brewery, which was one of the original craft breweries in Ireland going back to 1998.
Oh my God. It's like before craft beer was even a thing.
The first generation.
The term wasn't even there. Yeah, so I'm old. Yeah.
You're only as old as I don't know, the person you feel, isn't that? That's my bus driver. On the bus I used to get to secondary school, used to tell us. Ugh. Anyway.
And have you always been based there in Cork City then?
I came back from London to open that. Yeah, I didn't know anything about craft beer. As I said, the term wasn't there back then. we didn't, unlike the brewers of today, we didn't open it with an amazing love of brewing the fantastic beer. It was, we put in a microbrewery there to get footfall to the area that didn't have any footfall. So I'm a bar owner by trade. Okay. Beer production and love for beer came afterwards.
So when you were in London, did you run a bar in London also?
Yes, well, I was running an Irish club, stereotypical Irish person leaving Ireland, yeah. I ran a club in a fairly colourful area for a long time. It was an experience.
And where you are, your site now, like, does that have ties with a friary or like brothers or monks or?
Yeah, that was a friary going back to the 12th century. When I came back in 97 to look at the site, there was a beautiful, quaint old pub there, which I wanted to keep, but the engineer said it was falling down, so we had to start again. And when we took it down, the Archaeological Society came along with a 70-page document to say you can't build foundations here because there's a friary. The beer garden is the burial ground for the monks and the chieftain who funded the building of the original friary. And the well is still there, which had miraculous curing properties for the eyes that people came from far and wide, and the monks rubbed their eyes and charged them an exorbitant amount of money, sent them on their way and said they were cured. So that's where the name came.
And do you still use that well water, or is it long dry? Or
no, it's there, but it's contaminated.
So
can't be used. It's from all the construction that has gone on since the 12th century. That was the outer limit of the city back then. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the city is much bigger now. And, mm-hmm. Yeah.
There you go. And what festival are you promoting?
What festival am I promoting? Well, we've been doing them for the last 23 years, again, before anybody else was doing them. We started off doing a Belgian festival. So that was done on the October weekend, which traditionally was sponsored by Guinness, not my festival, but the whole city was there. So we were very quiet. So we decided we'd do something really different. So we imported beer ourselves, beer that had never been in Ireland at the time. There was a huge education piece back then because Irish people were like, oh, I'm having a pint. You can't have a pint of Delirium Tremens. It's going to kill you.
Absolutely not.
You're used to drinking 4% beer. So that weekend, I had to close the bar at 10:30 because people wouldn't listen and blank pints of Delirium Tremens. So that one didn't work out too well. But we evolved, and there wasn't many Irish breweries at the time. There was 11 of us. Only three of us are still around. And the quality wouldn't have been, even ourselves, the quality wouldn't have been anything like it is now. We were just finding our way. There wasn't any master brewer besides the big players. There was home brewers, basically. Mm-hmm. We had a guy in from the States who was very good. But by and large, it was home brewers. Not taking away from it. There are some fantastic home brewers who have made it into the commercial entity now. But back then, there wasn't really anything to benchmark yourself on. So we started doing an Irish festival in 2000. So it was Belgian up until then. And then in 2000, we did the first Irish one. There was kind of a resurgence in beer then in Ireland then. And then out of that, we talked to the people that were coming, and we saw there was a niche then for doing cask. It was only ourselves and one other bar in Ireland, in Southern Ireland, doing cask at the time. There was a lot of people talking about it, but a regular bar wouldn't take it in because obviously the shelf life is only 3 days. So we contacted a lot of the breweries, and they did one-offs for us. So we started calling it the Cask Festival, and then it went from that to the Cask and Strange Brew Fest, because some people they weren't into doing cask, but they didn't understand it or didn't want to do it. So that was a really cool one that was done on Valentine's weekend. Up to three festivals then for a year in house. Then we did the Femme Ale Festival because there was a lot of women started getting involved in brewing. Strangely enough, there was nobody before in the early 2000s. No female was getting involved in it. And that changed things a bit. first woman I encountered was Grania from Metalman. She poured her first commercial beer in the Weald, which we're really proud of, along with many other breweries around the country. So we've done two Femme festivals before COVID hit. And back in 2017, the city council approached us and asked us to put on a much larger festival, which suited us. At the time, it did suit us because we had outgrown. We were, I don't know if anybody's been to the bar from the panel here, but it's not that big, but we would have in excess of 7,000 people come through the door over the weekend of a festival. So a lot of people. So
that's a lot of people for any bar, you know.
Yeah.
Regardless of how small or big you are, yeah.
Yeah. So we'd have the Bjor guys would organize, it was our guys at the time would organize a coming down on a Saturday afternoon, and so it was busy all day and all night. So with the city council then on board, they said, you know, can you do something that will rival Copenhagen? It's like, that's a bit ambitious, but okay, let's give it a go. So we did that for 2 years, and then that COVID hit then, and it was just, the amount of work and effort that's involved. When it's in-house, it's fine. I admire what you're doing at Fidelity. If I was 20 years younger, I'd be doing the same thing, but I'm not. So I've been asked to do it again in Cork, the bigger one. But because we're limiting it, we've always kind of limited those ones to Irish. It's a bit more difficult. There's more, the stats tell us that there's more craft beer consumed per head in Cork than there is anywhere else in the country, but we still don't have the volume. We still don't have the amount of people. So we had to substitute that festival with music. We ended up selling it out. It was a great thing, but it was kind of took away from the craft beer side of things. So we fill it for the music side. And then you're wondering, right, are people really happy about the beer side of things? Like the brewers are happy because they sold loads of beer. But you know, I remember one of the bands on a Thursday night was a sellout, but I'm looking at it from the outside in that people just didn't move the bar that they were next to. So it was, it's a fine line. So yeah. Even after 23 years, we're still finding our feet. I mean, I love the things like Fidelity are doing. That's amazing. It's brilliant to bring in some of the best brewers from around the world. I suppose ours was just, it was always a bit different. I knew how hard it was, not bigging myself up, but I always knew how hard it was to try and make a few bob in Ireland. And really difficult for some of the people to showcase their products and their wares. So it was an easy one. And a lot of the festivals back then were double charging people. So they charge them a percentage of turnover to turn up, and they charge them a fee as well. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, they need to make some money. So we didn't charge them a fee. It was just a percentage. So if they were busy, they made money. If they weren't busy, then it was my fault for not filling the venue. Yeah. So the one that we're promoting, sorry, long-winded answer to. the one we're back on, the Easter Beer Festival, which is not on this Easter. there's several reasons for it. Obviously, the bar was just back open properly. And I didn't want to inflict a manic weekend on the staff just after reopening. And the second reason is I'm back in, or will be back in business myself as an independent brewer once again, which I never thought I would be. The beer won't be ready for that until the end of May. So It is the Easter fest, but not Easter. it's just Irish breweries, as it always has been for the Easter fest.
So it's Easter fest in name, but Irish in nature.
Yes, and in May as opposed to Easter.
And in May.
Just to confuse everybody.
Yeah. And is it the May bank holiday or the end of May?
It's the end of May.
And when we have, we will have details of these, and we will obviously retweet them out, so our followers will find out where they have to be and when. So we will now move on to Leah. Am I pronouncing that right? Is it Leah or Leah?
Leah. Thank you.
Okay. I don't want to mispronounce your name.
It's a lifetime name. Been called Leah. So.
Tell us about yourself. Where are you from? Where have you worked? What's your history? And then talk a little bit about your beer festival.
Sure. So I'm Leah. I work with Whiplash, currently in marketing, which kind of touches on a lot of different things, includes trade marketing, a little bit of sales as well. I also run our social media. This is the third drinks brand I've worked with. I actually started off in PR, and a particular agency I went to, I wanted to work there because they were really good at fashion. And then when I got there, they had some really great drinks brands. And then I started working on that, and I was like, oh, this is definitely where I want to be instead. So I've stayed there ever since. So I worked with whiskey and gin and some other beer, and then eventually found my way back to Whiplash. I've been drinking the beer since it came out anyway, so it was really nice to get involved. It was actually the Easter Festival that was Whiplash's first ever pouring event. So it was a very exciting time for the guys. There were a team of two then, so now we're a team of 12. So it's been great that we can still look back recently and remember that, and we've just changed so much since then, so really nice. So we're working with the Big Romance bar in Dublin on our second edition of our beer festival Fidelity, which is happening on the 15th and 16th of July this year. It happened once in 2019, and then we were all geared up to go again and then again, and unfortunately both didn't happen. So we're definitely ready for this time. The planning has started. We've been there's so much happening. So we're kind of getting into gear now for our festival. So it's been busy, and it's going to get busier.
Oh yeah. And so Shane was saying that the Easter festival is mainly Irish. So what type of breweries are you going to have there, Leah?
Yeah, so we've got a great mix. The majority of our brewers will be coming from outside Ireland and as far as Canada and the US, plenty from Ireland as well. We've got Dot and Mescan and Land and Labour. Everyone is doing something really interesting. Coming from far, we have Other Half, Finback, Jackie O's. I think Jackie O's, the first time they ever poured in Ireland was Fidelity, and this will be the second time they've ever poured in Ireland. So they're coming back, which is really nice. They had a Blueberry Sarah last time, which was one of the hits of the festival. So I think everyone's looking forward to them coming back. We try to make it quite a mix. Like, there's breweries there that specialize in wild beer, there's breweries that specialize in barrel aged beer. Obviously you'll have some wall-to-wall hoppy hazy bombs as well, so we're trying to we've actually got wine and coffee and cider as well, so there'll be a little bit something for everybody.
Okay, yeah, that's really good that there's a little bit for everyone, because it's always good to try. And I suppose, like, obviously alcohol is over 18s in Ireland, and you have to cater for that market. But certain beer festivals, like, will do a family friendly thing, like something like the Oktoberfest. I think their Tuesdays are family days. And there are certain areas reserved for families, and they have the roller coasters and it's like, it's a big deal. Yeah. So if you end up bringing a kid there, so how do you decide if it's just going to be over 18s, or if it's going to be, we'll say, a family friendly or inclusive to different types of people?
Yeah, for us, it's definitely over 18s. I wouldn't say it's particularly family friendly. Like, part of what you put into, I think, a family-friendly festival would be, like, things like maybe additional seating, or you might have an area for kids, stuff like that. We don't have anything like that. Our festival also starts at 6 p.m. It's definitely an evening event, so you'd have many kids anyway. up late enough for that. But yeah, it hasn't been a consideration for the festival, It's definitely a adults-only affair, and there'll be some plenty of beer to be tasting as well. So.
Yeah, I think if a festival is just like one day or one afternoon, sometimes it's not really worth it. To put an investment. But if it is something like it's a destination, maybe festival.
Yeah. About you, Shane? Now, your venue, normally, like, families or kids could come in because there would be food available, or how does that work there? Like, do you have someone at the door checking IDs, or?
No, it's because we've been around for so long, it's very much family during the day, because obviously there's people have been drinking with us for the last 23 years, and you're not going to turn them away on a Saturday just because there's a festival on. But there seems to be a natural drift out of people after 6:30, 7 p.m. and when it gets more lively.
And will the pizza be available during the fest? Or
Yeah. And when we did the one in the City Hall, we got a street food vendor as far as, so because obviously it's a bigger event. Yeah.
And if I remember correctly, the outdoors is covered and heated, so I suppose if it's raining, it wouldn't really matter.
Yeah, we just invested in a proper gas heating system just before COVID, actually. So it'll be even better if it's cold.
Very good. So you have your own venue, Shane. So that kind of answers your question about if you're going to have a festival, have it in your venue unless someone contacts you and you have it in City Hall. But for Leah, did you decide on your venue or what factors did you consider?
Size is definitely a thing. So we're having it in the Mansion House in Dublin, the round room. If anyone's been in it, it's a very big round room. But it's somewhere that has the space, but it's also accessible. It's beside the Lewis buses. If you live near town, you could definitely walk there. We wanted it to be like a city centre venue for that reason. It's got a cool kind of, like, it is a conference center, if you will, but it's definitely got a cool vibe. Like, obviously it's quite like, it's got the big dome and everything. Has a nice little outdoor area as well. We got very lucky with the weather last time. That was actually was a gorgeous day, but it did mean that we were safe. If there was any weather related issues, we would be able to house people comfortably inside.
Very good. And okay, so I'm going to move on to pricing structure, and both of your pricing structures are very different from each other. Do you want to start on this one, Leah?
Sure.
How you decided. So you pay up front and that's it.
Yeah, pay once in the door. So it's including fees, $69.61. So for that though, you're covered for the day. I suppose coming from the team that had been to so many festivals as customers and worked at so many, you know, they like the idea of not having to handle cash especially, but to a lesser, things like that. I suppose it does kind of put us in the place of, it is definitely for beer lovers. You're probably not going to spend that kind of money unless you know you're definitely going to be drinking some beer. It makes it simple as well. You know, you just rock up, you have your ticket, you get your glass on the way in, and then you're kind of free to go for the rest of the day. That's it. Mm-hmm. And it's something that, again, just based on having been to so many festivals, it was, how can we make this like as nice an experience, not just for our customers, but for the brewers as well, to actually have like a really nice festival experience and not necessarily be worrying about collecting the cash at the end of the day.
And that's through an app on your phone, right? So you have Eventbrite and that would have like a QR code or?
Yeah, so your ticket would be just on your phone and we'll just scan it on the way in. You get a wristband so you can come in and out if you wish. And after that, you're pretty much free to roam.
And for the Easter Beer Festival, Shane, is that going to be tokens or cash or a bit of both? Or
it'll be tokens. Yeah.
Tokens.
Yeah. Okay. Tokens. Yeah. We looked at Fidelity's model, or a model like Fidelity's for the City Hall, and the local police force were like, "You're not doing that."
Not doing. You'll get people doing the mantra on it, wouldn't you?
It's funny to hear that, you know, that it works in a different area of the country. Yeah. We're gonna let us do it in Cork, that's for sure.
Yeah. Like I've heard like comments from friends being like, oh, it's like €6.69. I could drink that much beer. I was like, no, that's not the point. There's other value than just what comes in your glass, you know. The type of beer and the brewers you have and stuff like that is definitely built into that.
Oh, but I can definitely see some people out there going, right, we have to drink this amount of beer now to make it worth our while. And you're like, no. This way you can just go and have a little taste, and if you don't like it, you don't feel compelled to have to drink it, you know.
And do you guys have glasses then at Franciscan Well for the Easter Festival, or how do people sample or buy their beer?
Yeah, well, I mean, because it's a bar, we have special festival glasses in the City Hall.
Okay.
Easter, it's just regular pint and half pint glasses. Yeah.
Oh, sure. And do you sell merch or any kind of like t-shirts or things like that?
We did have for the larger one we did. It's too busy for the Easter festival. But it's just manic. It's just pints.
Yeah.
And that's good too. You know? How about Fidelity? Is there going to be merch at Fidelity?
No merch to speak of yet, but you never know. our glasses will be branded and you can take it with you at the end of the day if you wish and you hang on to it.
Oh, I think everybody loves coming home from a beer festival with their special glasses. And unfortunately, I always get very ambitious towards the end of the night and I end up with a pocket full of tokens because I'm a lightweight, you know. And it's like, why did I change all my cash for these tokens? And then it's just like my eyes are far bigger than my belly sometimes.
And how about like music or entertainment? Like how would that factor into your planning of the events?
Me?
Yeah, okay. You go. Sure.
So we'll have DJs on throughout the day. Playing all sorts of music. We had some special guests last year. We had one of the staff members from Garage Beer got up and did a vinyl set. He brought his records all the way from Spain, which was really cool.
That's amazing. Yeah,
it was really great. So we'll just have people on throughout the day. Anyone that's listening that was at the last event, remember the last half hour just turned into like a really fun dance party. So we're hoping to recreate that again.
And obviously the collab there with the Big Romance has great music.
Absolutely,
on, you know?
Absolutely. So, yeah. Home to some of the best music in Dublin. So we're looking forward to seeing what they bring.
Good plug there. And Shane, are you going to go big on the music for the Easter Fest or what way are you going to go?
Over the years, we stopped doing it during the day because the real beer lovers were in during the day and they wanted to talk to the brewers. So it was just a waste of time. But then it's more high intensity than the evening. So we'd have music in the evening, each night. Yeah.
So is that something that myself or other beer lovers would have time to be able to speak to the brewers there? Like that's wild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That came about through feedback from both customer and brewer.
Okay.
The brewers tend to enjoy a few pints later on in the evening, so they're better off talking to you during the day.
Yeah.
I think that's one thing I found that other festivals I've been to, particularly in Ireland, that having like really loud bands on in the afternoon, and I would tend to go in the afternoon as well. Like I'd stay till the evening, but yeah, that kind of chance to maybe chat to people or even just, you know, you end up chatting out a song with someone and you find out you have something in common. But yeah, just having that really loud music where there's like rugby matches and stuff on. I've been at some that have been on the background and it just totally changed the vibe of the event, I think.
Yeah. But I think it's nice to have someone from the breweries there, because I have been to some where maybe it's a volunteer that's pouring beer and they don't really know much about the brewery or about the beer. So having that personal connection makes it all the more fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sorry, Leah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
We insist on it because the place is at a premium. We'd have a waiting list for people who want to attend. It's plain and simple. If the owner or stroke brewer isn't there, then you're not invited back next year.
I like it. Harsh, but fair, I think.
Harsh, but fair.
Yeah, you know. Did you want to say something on that as well, Leah?
No, I was just agreeing with Erica. Yeah.
Yeah. And I suppose as a woman going to a beer festival, I always like that there's lots of accessible water would be one thing.
Yeah.
Like water, I always bring an empty bottle with me or it's full when I leave home, but it doesn't stay for long, you know, I have to keep refilling it.
Yeah.
But are you doing any other things to make the festivals kind of as safe as possible for all your patrons or?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think anyone who's involved in the industry will know that there was like quite a lot of challenges in the last year that kind of came to light in quite large breweries and large events. So something that we wanted to do anyway, but it felt more pressing this year. So water is available all the time anyway, and I'm sure it's the exact same for Shane as well. It makes no sense to have people just drinking beer all day. But equally, we'll be running an Ask for Aisling campaign, and that'll be postered throughout the venue in male and female toilets. We'll have Safeway Home posters as well, so details of your where to find the Lewis timetable or bus timetable or get a taxi. We'll also have a number of safety stewards on site as well, the head of which will be completely independent, someone that we don't know who was hired for this specific role. So if someone does need to ask for Aisling, that a volunteer or a steward would be able to take that person to this perfectly qualified person who's not connected to any of the breweries, and take them to a safe space and then find out what they need, whether maybe they just need a moment alone or they need some water or they would like to leave. Hopefully, like, we don't anticipate anything like this happening, but if it does, we're completely ready for it.
I just think based on what has been happening over the past few years, and I think that's a really, really great step to take. And the Ash for Aisling, I'm familiar with the Ask for Angela campaign. Is that the kind of the Irish equivalent of Ask for Angela? Or
yeah, we kind of wanted to make it a bit more local. And yeah. We were kind of saying, like, between the group, like the whole team, like, do we actually know anyone called Angela? It's like, no, it would really stick out if someone's asked for Angela, because I don't know any, but I would know an Aisling, you know, so okay. It wouldn't be too crazy if someone came up to me and said, do you know where Aisling is?
Yeah.
It's more reasonable to be like, oh yeah, she's over here. So yeah, like, it's something that was important to us. And actually the feedback we got from some large breweries, particularly in the UK, was that their kind of senior leadership team was requiring such a statement from any festival that any team member was going to for the safety of the people traveling and the safety of their customers as well. So, and we were really delighted to actually say we have that ready to go for you. And it was a hard piece of work, and you know, we spent a lot of time on it, but we got there in the end. Myself, Alex and Alan and Dave worked on it together, and then we shared it with our entire team and we read it out, and everyone agreed it was the way to go. We sent it to all the brewers, we asked for feedback, and no one came back with any, which was really nice to see. So yeah, as I said, we're not anticipating anything happening that we'd need to invoke, but if something happens, we're not just doing it to say that we've done it. Like, there's a very specific protocol in place if someone just needs a bit of help and they can't find. We also have a meeting point on site as well that's not in the main area, so even if you just lose your mate, yeah, you just come out of the room, you can know you'll find them under the big meeting point sign. You'll just find them. Mm-hmm.
I think that's a really nice initiative. I think that's a really good initiative, and I would love to see it being followed by beer festivals all over the world.
I was in Crew Brewing in Limerick for Paddy's Day, and they are a brew pub, and I was in the bathroom and I happened to notice this one page that was printed out and posted on the wall, and it was their safety statement with Ask for Angela, and I took the time to read it and really appreciated it. And I think it's definitely going to catch on and people will know about it and use it.
Yeah, I think it's something that it doesn't work unless we all know about it. So we can't just put up the poster. Like, we have to make sure that our brewers know about it. Any volunteers we have, we'll have a briefing for all of them on the day of the event. And we wouldn't expect anyone untrained to take a position of, they'll be notify if someone comes to you and says I have an issue, you would bring them to someone who's qualified. Yeah. We wouldn't be expecting a volunteer or someone or a brewer or someone to step into that role, but it only works if everybody knows about it and everyone knows the protocol,
and they'll know how to channel them to a safe place and everything like that. And that's, I was like, what else can you do? That's a really good thing. And I suppose on the same topic, it's like, what about food?
We don't have any food. It's not something that's part of the festival this time around or last time around. But as I said, the event starts at 6 both days, so Friday and Saturday. So plenty of time to make sure that you're well fed before you walk through the door.
I need to get a good feed into me before I head to Fidelity. Okay.
Yeah. And well, you'll have wristbands as well if you need to pop out. As I said, like, we're literally in the middle of town, so if you did need to pop out for something, you wouldn't be far.
And Shane, Erica has already mentioned your pizzas. Are they good, Erica?
They're amazing.
They're amazing.
They're worth getting on the air coach for 3 hours for.
Okay, that is some praise.
Yeah, we're lucky. He's an amazing guy. He's been constantly ranked as the top pizza in Cork. Yeah.
Wow. And do you have other food besides pizza, or is pizza like your main go-to with maybe one or two other sides? Or
just pizza in the bar. Yeah. In the bigger one, we had street food vendors, street food vendors.
And I think street food vendors for an offsite place is quite handy, because there's no outlay or anything. You just say, can you please agree to be here on a certain time of day? And you know, so easy. Yeah.
Would you guys always know which beer styles your guests are bringing to their booth?
Yeah, go on, Shane.
Yeah, we put out a list so that there isn't too much of a crossover.
Oh, okay.
At the end of the day, we want everybody to make money at this. All right, it's a bit of marketing exposure for people, but still, for somebody to come out of the brewery for two nights or three, really, because you've got the setup and takedown, it's a big ask. So they really need to make money. And if everybody's coming up with an IPA, then yeah, they're going to dilute the amount of sales volume they're going to make.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And not everybody likes IPA, you know?
Yeah. No, nobody's drank it in Ireland 10 years ago. Nobody even knew what it was.
Exactly, though, you know. And then all of a sudden, it's like, how hoppy can we get? How many IBU can we get into this beer? Whoa! But yeah, I think it's sours have come on in leaps and bounds in the last few years, I think, as a style.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
there's still more people talking about that though than consuming it. we opened a bar in Galway, and the guys, they've got a couple of bars. I'm after selling out of it, but they've got a bar up here in Dublin called Nova. It's really popular.
Yeah.
The one in Galway won best craft beer bar the first year that they were open, and they had loads of beer taps inside there. And, oh, this is going absolutely amazing, and I'm looking at the figures and saying, I know it's selling, it was not selling. All right, loads of exposure from this whatever sour, but you sold a half a keg. You know? It goes back Leah will know this, going back to the Caspates thing when we first brought out a beer with them. It was I'm not a social media person, as you can tell from my age, but it was my first realization that, you know, not everything you see out there is true, because there was like more people had said they consumed this and thought it was amazing than could ever have consumed it, because it wasn't that many bottles. Wouldn't have happened, you know.
Well, and I think, yeah, sours are so tricky, because you do have to be careful about the space and any cross contamination, and like anything, it could be a fad or a fashion, you know, that might change next year. But I did want to ask both of you, with the setup and takedown, like do people usually send their kegs and lines and things ahead of time, or like how much of that is boots on the ground?
I can answer that one, because years of frustration. So we tried all different types of models. Originally, we'd supply a bar counter and people would rock up with all their stuff. But we were finding guys were rolling their kegs up while the bar was full and setting up. So I just got totally fed up with it. So now we pay for everything. All they have to do, along with their lenses and their tapping heads. The gas is lined up, the cooler is lined up. It was a big expense, but it saved so much time, so much disruption. Mm-hmm. Now, you'll still get people rock up, rolling their kegs up when the place is open. But everything else is set up, so it's not as much of an inconvenience. And what we did find after 1 year of it, brewers were turning up on time, because everybody else was set up and selling beer. I'll tell you one funny story about going back to many years ago. There was a guy, he was working for somebody, and now he's a really, really good, talented brewer. He's got his own business. And he used to have it as a jolly and come down and really enjoy himself and have great crack. And the year he became self-employed, he was like, my good God, I just paid for my family holiday. And I said, you could have been doing that for the last 5 years if you were sober. It's amazing how people change and how things change.
That's brilliant. For us, like most of our beer is coming from overseas, so there's a lot of logistics, and I think most people would know at this point there's a lot more, shall we say, shipping and customs challenges than there were the last time. So I'm kind of expecting the beers from the UK to be more of a hassle than the ones from the US and Canada this year, unfortunately. Given the lead time, like we'll expect to start shipping some of those, not relatively soon, but you know, we're getting ready for that. So as much as the international beer, it'll come in advance, we'll get that to the venue, and then some of the local brands will be bringing their own. I suppose they're in a bit of a nicer place where they could have something that's like really freshly kegged or something that they might want to bring. Similar to Shane though as well, like we just set up everything. It means it's just consistent. We know it all works. Get it in at the same time. You can say, okay, for doors at 6, everything will be ready at 5:30, and there's nothing that can change that because we put everything in ourselves. And it means like, you know, if there's an issue with the keg or something, like we've got one person to call about that as opposed to someone having an issue with their Linda or something like that. So yeah, I think Shane's on the money there. Like it's just in terms of time and just process, just do it once, do it right.
And I suppose not all of their staff members would maybe know about how to run the gas or how to clean things.
That's me all over. I'm learning. Funny enough, never worked in a bar before, so I'm learning a lot when I go to beer festivals now.
Leah, you have a very specific set of skills, so you don't need to.
Yes. Like Liam Neeson.
Yeah.
So would some of those visiting brewers have fringe events like tap takeovers or launches or?
Yeah, so we'll have a full schedule of events the week leading up. Some brewers will become a little bit earlier than others, like the ones from States and Canada. So we haven't announced anything yet, but yeah, there'll definitely be some fun events happening around town. Like obviously we've got the big Romance will be like our home bar for the weekend, if you will. So you can expect some nice things to be pouring there. And in terms of like who's coming, like we'll obviously Whiplash Brewery will be busy as well. We'll have, like, we've not been able to show our brewery off to anybody really. Over the last 2 years, we went into commission November 2019. So that was poor timing it turned out to be. So we've not really had any visitors or people in to brew with us. Like we're starting now to have more people in for collabs and stuff, but that week will be a real kickoff for us.
So I suppose we're going to have to definitely keep an eye on the Whiplash and the Big Romance social media for
all of these
foreigners that are coming in, you know.
We welcome them with open arms. We can't wait. The brewery will never have been as clean.
So tell me, is there anything that has completely, like, absolutely addled you that people like myself and Erica have no idea that is going on behind the scenes? Like, what is the biggest head wrecker or head melter for organizing a beer festival?
Well, very specifically for my role is just content. Asking 44 breweries for their logo, a couple of pictures of their beer, just a few lines just so we can, you know, spread the word. And obviously not every brewery has a person designated to do that, so I totally understand it's can go to the bottom of the pile when you're running a brewery, but that is my current bugbear. And I did ask Alex and Al today, I was like, what's the worst part of running a festival? And they both just were like, everything. Like, it's a terrible idea. Like, it's so, and obviously, like Shane as well, like you're running a separate business as well. This is like an add-on. It gets busy.
And how about you, Shane? Is there anything, or do you just take everything in your stride at this stage?
I'd agree with Leah on that job. Trying to get the info and descriptions so that we can put that up on social as people are coming in and have news online. Other than that, no, it's easy enough. We're lucky. It's like we have a waiting list of people, so the people who are coming want to be there. And it's worth doing.
Definitely.
Well, I, for one, can't wait to start getting back to beer festivals and everything after everything has been postponed for so long. How about you, Erica?
Yeah, like I feel like we had some warm and sunny weather, and that definitely put me in the mood, and, you know, getting my hopes up and then getting disappointed throughout all of our lockdowns. It's nice to have some tickets and be able to travel again and meet new people. And this will be my first time at both of these festivals. So
it'll be same for me. I have never been to either. So there we go.
Amazing.
And I have my tickets for Fidelity, but I don't have my tickets for Franciscan Well, because I couldn't see it on your
No tickets. There's no tickets.
They're all sold out already.
No, it's free to come in.
You just rock up on the day, and
it's the only weekend of the year that you don't have to have bookings. Yeah.
So okay.
Well, there we go. That's why I don't have tickets.
That's all that.
I don't know. We could get a Beer Ladies road trip down to Cork, you know?
Yeah, I know there's definitely some interest in that on Facebook. So we'll see. I booked my hotel already. So yeah.
You're well in. Yeah. Well, we've got a few from our end heading down to Cork that week. So we're very sorry, Shane.
We're very excited. Everybody is coming from Whiplash.
I don't know who's going to mind the brewery.
Yeah, we got asked from say that there was a space, and of course Al didn't get back to me. And then he rang me after we were full and said, I presume we have a space. I said, Al, like, my breweries have just had the same conversation with me because nobody got back to Kate and told her if they were coming or not. But obviously we're going to look after you, because we looked, the way we did it was, and we do it every year, who was there the year before has first option on the following year. And the last festival we had was that virtual beer festival during lockdown, which you were at. So obviously you will get a slot.
We can't wait. We're so excited. Marked on the calendar now, the whole weekend blocked out.
Good. And you poured your first beer on the farm. Well, and we were trying to get a list up of all the people who had over the years. And I was blown away. It was amazing.
Yeah. Amazing. Oh, that's incredible. Yeah, I think it was Scaldy Porter and Surrender to the Void. So they went in strong.
There you go. It's an institution, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
It's only an institution because of the breweries.
Come on, Shane.
They evolved over the years, thankfully.
A lot of our listeners are ladies, this being the Beer Ladies podcast. So I'm gonna ask Shane, are you thinking of doing the Female beer festival again? There's plans to do that in the future, or
so our marketing manager Kate is just getting her head around everything after being closed for the last 2 years. But that was one that was a massive success. I mean, she ended up on the front page of Image magazine, which you know probably never had a beer at. And there you go. She was front and center promoting beer. Yeah, it was amazing.
Incredible.
I am delighted to hear that. And I'm sure a lot of our listeners are delighted to hear that as well. So listen, is there anything else you want to talk about or chat about?
I'm going to be very bold.
Okay, we'll let Leah go first, okay?
Yeah.
This is saying I'm going to be very bold and do a plug. Our Saturday tickets are completely sold out. So if you want a Friday ticket, now is the time. Fidelity.beer, you'll find them there.
Okay, very good. Shane, do you want to do a final plug or?
That's all good. I just see you on the Friday afternoon or Saturday afternoon of the festival.
Friday or Saturday, end of May in Franciscan Well. Okay. And I have my Saturday tickets for Fidelity, so.
You're in.
I'm good. What day are you going, Erica?
Probably both days.
You're working.
Oh, you'll be working. Sorry.
Working hard.
Yeah, totally. I forgot about that. So I'm going to wrap up by saying thank you very much to Shane from Franciscan Well and Leah from Fidelity. We will, of course, link them in our show notes, link the Whiplash Brewery and Franciscan Well. And if we see when we see the details or any posts on social media about their events, we will, of course, retweet them and reshare them. I just want to say thank you from Shane, Leah, myself, Erica. You can watch us on YouTube. We are youtube.com/beerladiespodcast. We are on Insta, is at Beer Ladies Podcast, and we're on Twitter as at Beer Ladies Pod. We're also on Facebook. We are wherever you get your podcasts. So like, share, subscribe, and tell your friends to listen to us as well. All right, thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
Yes. Yes.
Bye.
Bye.
You can stay.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's Amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.